All right, welcome to the Recruiter Startup Podcast. I'm excited to get really stuck in to getting a lot of recruitment founders on here. I've been doing a wee bit more on the LinkedIn Live space and then repurposing it on the podcast channel, mainly so we can track the data and really engage all the people who listen to the show and who follow us on social media. And that's really work. And we've been helping our advisory clients with some of that stuff on the marketing side as well. It never stops though, hey, recruitment. I've been doing this for a while now, and I think this is probably the first year I've been able to take some meaningful time off during the summer. I'm super grateful from it. And, you know, August, I try not to get stressed out. You know, sometimes in August, it's great. Sometimes it's not. Very hard to run a recruitment business in August. Your staff go on holidays, so obviously productivity is going to be down. Your clients, your candidates go on. Processes get pushed in. And really, it's that drive in early summer to make sure you have enough stuff happening now. And the drive now from a marketing standpoint, from an outreach standpoint, to make sure that September happens and happens well and balances the books. I'm sure all you wonderful people with contract businesses maybe don't have quite the same struggles as those perm people, but you can't stop holidays, so I suppose timesheets are timesheets. So loads of stuff happening. I'm going to focus much more on the US market and the London market specifically. Our move abroad stuff's really happening. I'm going to be firing up our mastermind, our VA solution, or back office into recruitment, which is your L&D stuff and your TAs. And Charlotte's just really busy with her enterprise operational tech stack within the recruitment sector, especially in London and Bristol. So it's just all go. And then I suppose it's just tightening all that stuff up. It's a great time in August to reflect on where you're at, not get too stressed about the current KPIs or stats or revenue that's going to come in, but figuring out which little incremental changes can you make so the sprint from September to Christmas is really effective and everybody is at it. I always look at these things. There's two big sprints in the year, you know, after Christmas to midsummer, and then autumn to Christmas. And then you have to just take into account there's going to be a dip on either side, and that's the time that you do your planning. You can just do your slight, you know, process improvement stuff. But I hope yous are all well. I have a great guest today, Rory Gaston from Saragossa Recruitment, with a bit of a twist. He's been doing it for a while. He has a great business, unbelievable revenue, offices in London and Bristol and now Chicago. He's moving himself and the family over, and they're going to conquer America, already doing loads of work there. So they've done all the work prior to going over. And I want to get more and more stuff happening with the content on America on the other side. Because although it's had a dip, the employment sector's crazy. Still low unemployment. And after every dip, there's going to be a boom. So now's the time to get it all done, make that planning, start engaging the right people and the candidate and the client say, get your processes in place. And maybe in the new year, there'll be another 20 UK offices that'll spring up and dominate the UK, the US market. So that's it. Over to Rory. And if you want to come on the show, if you have any ideas of any series that we could do, I'm always available for a chat. So just connect with me on LinkedIn. All right. Take care. All right, welcome to the Recruiter Startup Podcast. I'm here with a long-term fan of the show, Rory Gaston. How are you, sir?
Very good, Dilsa. How are you?
Very good. I haven't done one of these in a while. I started doing a lot more LinkedIn Lives, selfishly, just to make some more money. Because with
why does that change how you make money?
Because if we bring on one of our clients on a LinkedIn Live, we can advertise it beforehand, get the audience in, and then we can recruit against that. So each podcast,
You know, there could be like four committed candidates that have spent an hour having a watch of it. They've bought into the founder, and then we repurpose it on these channels.
Very clever. I like it.
I give away all the good stuff.
You do. That's the way to do it.
Yeah. You got a taste of working with my wife recently. You survived?
I did. Yeah, she definitely wears the trousers in your house.
She is one scary lady.
And if she doesn't wear them, she tells you what colour to wear. So that's
definitely. She'd be sorting out that haircut of yours first off.
Come on.
Right.
Okay.
Anyway. Rory, where are you from originally? Somewhere.
Just outside of Belfast.
Just outside of Belfast. How'd you end up in Bristol?
I went to uni in Bath and kind of just, you know, essentially didn't really want to grow up and go to London. So applied for a few jobs in Bristol. Met the guy who's now my business partner, a chap called Jimmy Lloyd. He used to work for another recruitment company called Red Rock Consulting, and basically had one interview with him and decided that that's who I wanted to work with. So yeah, that's basically how I ended up in Bristol. Haven't really left since.
So what's the story? How long were you working for somebody before you decided to go out on your own?
It was about 4 years, roughly speaking. So I kind of joined there, did permanent recruitment, then did contract recruitment as well as permanent. I think I was the first person that did some dual desk there, and then realized that what I wanted to do long term was probably slightly different. A bit of a kind of pivot from what they were doing. So we kind of came up with a construct that allowed me to move on with Jimmy and set up the new organization. And they were a part of that for a long time. And it worked really well. Kind of a nice symbiotic relationship for a while.
Nice one. What age were you when you did that?
28.
Before kids,
yeah.
So you just were able to commit everything to it all the time?
I don't know. I think it's interesting. I think the level you need to commit in a way doesn't really change. I think it's quite hard to change the way that you work and how you work. But maybe the times of day that you do it change as you get kids. You know, for example, last night I wanted to make sure I was home for bedtime. Pretty simple. So I finished a bit early, but then when I got home, I hadn't done all I needed to do for the day. I can't switch off until I've done everything I need to do. So I had to work a bit later. It also helps with the US clients. So we obviously work with firms in New York and LA and San Francisco, et cetera. So lots of different time zones to kind of navigate. So working a bit late at night actually helps move me closer to what they're doing, and that works as well.
So you recently appointed a non-executive director from outside of recruitment, which it's an interesting way of doing it. Why go with that in that direction rather than somebody who's guided somebody to an exit within our industry?
Sure, no problem at all. I think, to be honest with you, as an organization, we're positioning ourselves as more of a solutions provider, technology and change solutions provider, than a pure out and out recruiter. Now, obviously, recruitment's part of our business, but we have four different products within the organization, all with their own identity and purpose, and I guess the reason for them is different clients need different things at different stages. And as such, we felt that we would get more benefit from bringing someone from within the industry who'd give us insight into what clients need and the kind of challenges they're trying to solve or problems they're trying to solve, rather than bring in someone from a traditional recruitment perspective who's definitely been there and done that, but maybe isn't as aligned to where our business is going in the future.
What is it you recruit for?
So essentially the organization hires technology and change people, so that encompasses data and security as well as infrastructure development and things like that for buy-side financial services institutions, so mainly hedge funds, asset managers, private equity firms.
So I'm a PE guy. And I'm like, okay, I want to grow. I need people. You're not just doing traditional recruitment. What are you doing? Like, explain that to me as somebody who doesn't.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So a PE firm, they will obviously need people, permanent hires. So we'll do that. They may have specific projects that they want delivered end to end. And so we have a product that does that, which comes with its own project management and business analysis team outside of that. We also, PE firms will obviously quite often invest in startups, and those startups will need to scale. So we will work alongside the PE firm to help the new startup build out the whole organization. So putting in place the processes that you need to hire the right kind of teams, to making sure they've got the right EVP, to making sure the recruitment process works, to making sure that there's cultural alignment between the hires and they know what it's like to work in a startup environment. That's a slightly different mentality. So yeah, we still hire people for organizations, do specific jobs, but a lot of the work that we do is kind of more project led. And so therefore it's more, I guess, dictated by the outcomes rather than just finding a person to do a role.
So it gets a stranglehold on all the people expenditure from investment down.
I think it's more to do with, both Jimmy and I never really liked the idea of just transactional recruitment, mainly probably because we're not very good at business development, but we didn't like the, you know, we don't like the idea of you're there to, you know, make one or two hires and you never really interact again. One of the things Donald, the new non-exec, said when he joined was the reason he wanted to work with Saragossa is he could see a marked difference in the way that we work from most of the other firms that he's engaged over the years. And as a result, that's what drives our business. It's to be partners with organizations and come up with solutions that fit their needs rather than, you know, as I say, just finding specific people to do specific jobs only. I think that's a better way of looking at it.
It's easy to, at this stage, because you're quite a bit in, to describe all of those different offerings. I'm guessing you didn't just, like, day one, you're like, here's four different offerings, and then you just threw, like, this has evolved for a period of time, hasn't it? What advice would you give anybody who's starting off and they want to change the perception and the way things are done?
Yeah. So I think where we start off with, and lots of other firms have done this very successfully, is we start off with a niche. There's not lots and lots and lots of firms who work with the types of clients that we work with, delivering technology and change. So that was the first starting point. When I first started recruitment, as I say, sort of 11 years ago or so, my first ever role was with a hedge fund, and I loved it. I loved the idea of what these guys were doing. I found it really exciting. And you know yourself, it's much easier to sell the idea of an organization and what they're trying to do or what they're trying to hire if you're actually excited about them. Do you know what I mean? It's much, much easier because then you become passionate. So I think anyone starting out, it's really useful to decide what you want to do, what area you want to work in. I don't think you can be all things to all people. And then in terms of really kind of adding value, it's that desire to, in my opinion anyway, it's that desire to really understand the area you're working in. You know, I certainly wouldn't say that I've got deep dive financial services knowledge, but I know enough on a periphery level to understand how the different parts of organizations link. And I think when you are then dealing with clients, no matter what solution you're offering at the end of the day, you aren't just, as I say, someone in a transactional nature, you move more towards a trusted advisor. And again, that's something that one of our other very close clients has taught us over the years, that line between transactional service provider and trusted advisor is it can be quite a fine one. But if you can get on the right side of that, then you can add long-term value, and it's very beneficial for both sides.
On a personal level, just give us a size, the current size of the team.
Yeah, so there's 46 full-time employees split between Bristol and London. We also have on-site support teams for some clients globally, so locations like Japan, San Francisco. We have a team in Argentina that actually provide 24/7 IT desktop support service to a couple of clients. So yeah, it you know, in terms of people doing the day-to-day job that I do, there's 46 in the UK, but we have global operations providing solutions again to clients outside of that.
What is your day-to-day? Like, what does that look like?
If I had a perfect day, this may be different than day-to-day. If I had a perfect day, I still really enjoy being involved in everything. So I still really love doing recruitment. I love actually being involved in search. unfortunately, I only really have time these days for maybe taking on, you know, one a month or something like that. But that's my favorite thing. I really still enjoy it. So I spend some time doing that, spend some time obviously helping, you know, we can all see that the market's changing again, and that's part of the excitement of it. And like you, I've been through some ups and downs. So trying to give the team some advice about how to handle the next few months, next 6 months, next 9 months, that takes up quite a lot of time. And then really, because as I said, the business is getting more complicated and it's got more products, a lot of time spent on working with clients to make sure that the solutions we're providing are the right ones, and then troubleshooting things as you come along, because not everything runs smoothly 24/7. Otherwise, it'd be boring, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's a lot of different stuff. It doesn't sound unfamiliar to the way I run my day. Just obviously ours is just on a super smaller level. But yeah, it's fun getting the variety of every little bit, and then enacting a little bit of change, and then seeing, oh, here's the solution now. Okay, now I can step away and move on to the next bit. But the famous saying out there, I can't remember who said it, but never waste a good recession. Do you buy into that?
I definitely buy into that. I started recruiting in 2009, and one of the reasons I actually ended up taking that job is I knew I wanted to set up a business at some point. I remember it quite vividly. And I thought, well, what's going to be really difficult right now? Well, I think recruitment's going to be quite difficult. So that's why I decided to do it back in the day. I think you know a bit about this, Delta, but we're looking to open up offices later on this year in Chicago. And one of the things I actually thought at the time was, it'd be quite handy if there was a bit of a tough start to it, because it means everyone going there will have to cut their teeth in a difficult environment. And obviously, as you know, it puts pressure on costs and things like that. So you have to be smart about what you do. And sometimes you can make a bit of a win, you know, office space and other kind of auxiliary costs do come down. So yeah, I do understand that. Obviously, it's not, it also does create a lot of anxiety and issues for other parts of the economy and other people and things like that. But I do look at it as something that is useful to go through.
Yeah, I paid the money for the lawyer, for everything, to go to the States. And our business is super small, so I was seeing costs go up. And then I realized if there's a dip, how much we'd have to bill to break even. And our advisory business is doing quite well, and that's very UK centric. So it was, I was weighing it all up, and I ended up in Gibraltar on a tax grab.
I think I've done that kind of detailed analysis yet, Jules. So maybe I should, you know, go back to the drawing board. But
you got the economies of scale to make it happen. And also, I think looking at it, like the salaries of recruiters and very average ones who don't have a commercial mindset, they were going through the roof in America. To it just didn't make sense. Like none of it made sense. No. And I'm getting messages for people who've gone internal recruitment for 18 months. Now they've lost their job and they're asking me for $160,000 on a base salary. Like,
because that's what they're getting paid at Amazon. Yeah, it doesn't really work.
it doesn't work like that. Like how, like that. Anyway, so when you're going there now, there's a reevaluation. Maybe you'll get a bit of like gratitude from people you're giving a shot to. You're moving over there yourself firstly though, right?
Yes. So I'm relocating with my family to Chicago, and we're going to bring a team across as well. We're actually got a little expedition trip in about 9 days time, so that'll be interesting, just to let everyone in the team kind of see what the city's like, you know, the neighborhoods, the restaurants, the bars, etc. and make sure that it's definitely a move they want to make, because, you know, it's a big uprooting for them. And in terms of our methods always being hire juniors and train them and promote from within. So we reached a milestone last week. We had our first, one of our very early on employees, probably employee number 10, has now reached director level.
Oh, wow.
which is amazing. You genuinely were really thrilled for him. He's worked really hard. He's done a brilliant job. He's leading a really good team, and you can see how he's matured. You know, certainly in the last, you know, 18 months or so, it's fantastic. And so that creates huge opportunity for him from a, you know, a future company ownership perspective, and you know, in terms of how the organization grows, his role within the organization will grow. So we're looking to replicate the same model in the US as we have in the UK. And I, you know, being honest with you, it's really, really worked. We end up with a fantastic team who understand the values that we run the organization by and how we like to work with clients. And unfortunately, a lot of times, if you hire people with experience, they're more used to that, as I say, that more transactional mindset, that kind of, you know, here for a few placements and gone tomorrow. And that just doesn't work with the types of clients we work with. They value that partnership.
It's going to be tricky to get like people at a decent cost, even in graduates or non-graduates in Chicago. Why did you choose Chicago? Is it the financial services hedge fund?
Yeah, there's a few reasons. So essentially, Chicago is perfect in terms of location. So it's a couple of hours to New York, where we do a lot of work. It's a couple of hours down to Miami, where we do a lot of work. It's a few hours across to San Francisco and LA, where we do a lot of work. Yeah. We do a lot of work in Chicago itself. It's big in the world of hedge funds and high-frequency trading firms, so it's well-positioned for that. From a cost perspective, it's not as expensive as New York or LA or San Francisco or anywhere like that. It's getting a lot of like local funding for tech startups. There's actually quite a lot of tech happening there. Good well-educated workforce. So, you know, those are the kind of main reasons. And also, my wife's actually from Chicago. So if I relocated her again and there wasn't some quid pro quo, I think that would have yeah. probably ended the wrong way as well.
Oh, so that's nice. So you've got a she'll have a support network there.
Yeah.
Awesome. That's great. Yeah. That's great. So how do you envisage your own life changing?
Obviously, I think about this the other day. I was out for sort of 3 weeks in the US with different clients and looking at places to live in Chicago and things like that. And I think the biggest thing is you wake up, no matter how early you wake up out there, even, you know, kind of waking up at sort of 4:35 a.m., you're still 6 hours behind what's happened in the UK. So you constantly feel like you're on the back foot. And so I'm sure I'll get used to it, but the first few hours of the morning is quite like anxiety ridden whilst you kind of get on top of your emails, which I have to do, and then you kind of settle into it. It's quite good. I think, to be honest with you, I'm looking forward to spending more time with our clients out there. You know, as I say, we've got really, really strong relationships with our clients in the UK. We've got very strong trust, and that's really important to us. But that kind of relationship, whilst it's, you know, it helps having VCs and things like this, nothing can replace that kind of human contact, that face-to-face contact. So looking forward to spending more time with our US clients, and also introducing the products that we have in more depth to them. You know, they maybe have seen some of it, but they haven't seen all of it. So I'm looking forward to kind of spending some time educating them on what else we can do for them as organizations. From my perspective anyway, and certainly from Jimmy's as well, we just see this as the fact that we are moving more towards a global organization. I'll still be involved in clients in the UK, just like I'm involved in clients in the US. So we don't see a whole lot of change, just apart from I'm working with a team in a different time zone and building up the different offices out there.
So different offices. What does the roadmap look like?
So starting off with Chicago, the aim right now, and as you know, these things have to be agile. Yeah.
Well, we're just talking to the universe. We're going to see if it's going to come
absolutely,
back.
Absolutely, absolutely. So the high-level plan would be ideally Miami, LA, San Fran, and either New York or Austin. That's kind of the 4 to 5 year plan in the US. And as I say, the thing that gives me comfort is we're bringing some of the team from here initially, and we want to empower them to go and open up for future offices in other locations longer term. And I think that's quite exciting. The individual I mentioned, Cameron, who we just recently promoted to director, he actually went and set up the London office. He only had about 18 months experience when he did it, but he was you know, brave enough to kind of just make that leap. Wow. And, you know, it's paying off pretty well for him. So we want to offer that same kind of opportunity to people in the US as well.
All right. Well, look, that's us today. This is
thanks for your time.
Bit of an exciting journey. It's definitely worked out for you. What excites you most about the next period of time?
I think it's the opportunity to strengthen the different products that we've built for clients. As I mentioned earlier on, this year recruitment only makes up 50% of our business, and I want to see how that's going to evolve over time, and I want to see how that will evolve internationally as well. And I want to see how the landscape changes as, you know, the amount of jobs reduce or the amount of budget for spend reduces or whatever kind of area you're looking at. So I think all of that presents opportunities, and it's all exciting.
Would you do anything differently? Is there any lessons learned that you've had in the last period of time where you're like, oh, if I had done that earlier, I think maybe?
If I was being sensible, if I was being completely true to myself, I think we probably should have taken more risks sooner, which probably, you know, I'm sure a lot of people say that, but when we initially started, we were quite conservative about the amount we were growing and adding, you know, more people into the organization and doing things a bit differently. And it's only really since COVID. One thing you might know about us, Dota, is during COVID, we didn't furlough any of the sales team. We didn't, you know, fire loads of juniors like everyone else did. We didn't do any of that. We kept the team, we kept it intact, and we actually kept growing and hiring during COVID.
Yeah, I think we placed somebody with you during COVID.
Yeah, exactly. And so we were probably one of the few people that were actually hiring. And it was during that time that we realized that because of the relationships that we have between the candidates or the people that can provide the expert services and the clients, we could create different products and different solutions. So I wish we'd actually taken that leap sooner rather than waiting for a huge big event to kind of show us that we needed to be a bit more brave.
Yeah. So now it's just supercharge it and let's go.
No, it's just, you know, let's keep, like you were saying about your day being interesting, so you've got lots of variation. Let's keep making things interesting and having lots of variation.
All right. Thanks so much for your time, Rory. The next time we'll get you on, you'll be in Chicago and we'll do a LinkedIn Live.
Sounds good, Gilda. Take care. Cheers.